One of the things we were talking this past week, and recent classes we've been talking about fellowship and the differences between what some of us grew up knowing about fellowship and what true fellowship is from the context of the Bible and from just fellowship in the world. And the more I would dig into it, the more I kept coming across support, 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 support. And so I finally decided it would be better to just do a lesson on support. And it gave me an opportunity to stretch my 3D work for a change. I've got a 3D application I've been kind of doing on the side for probably close to 25 years now, and I still am kind of intermediate at it. But it comes in handy when I want to do graphics that represent things for our studies. Starting off with, I thought what we're going to do today, we're going to start off looking at the definitions of support. I know sometimes for members here that see these definitions we often get into are very simplistic. But the fact, what we typically think of when we hear a word, sometimes becomes the only thing that we have in that definition in our minds, and we don't think about some of the other applications of a particular word. And so going through these definition studies is useful. I think we've got four today, and we'll be looking at these definitions to start off with. Then we'll be looking at some instances of things that represent support in our lives, things that we see on the street or maybe we see at work or in places like that, just to kind of enforce those images into our mind. Then we're going to be taking the definitions and going through some scripture this morning, looking at how scripture in Old Testament and New Testament have been used in the purpose of support. And then we're going to close with the same images that I had up there just a moment ago, that brace, that idea of support. So we'll go ahead and get the definition. The first thing that we have for the word support is to bear all or part of the weight of something, or to hold up. And that's typically one of the first things we see somebody says. Can you support this? Well, yeah, I'll hold it up. Somebody's out building a fence and you hold the fence for them while they're putting the screws in. Or somebody's hanging a door in a house, or maybe it's a reconstruction. And they say, hey, can you hold this up for me? It's like, sure, I'll hold it for you. And they're putting the screws in. And once that's done, the job can be accomplished. But without that support, it's impossible. You can't put something up that's going to cause a problem that way. And so that you want to be able to hold that little bit. Sometimes it may just be somebody carrying something that's very heavy, and you can tell that they're struggling. I've seen people carry sometimes things that are just too long for them, or just maybe they've got their hands full. I mean, if I asked everybody, have you ever had a family member walk into the house with too many grocery bags? I think the worst thing about plastic grocery bags is the fact you can fit them on your fingers, and at some point they start pulling your fingers down. It's like, by the time you get into the house, you can hardly hold it up. You need support at that moment. You're about to drop the milk, or you're about to drop something heavy, and so you need somebody to come and bear all or part of that weight for you. Or that idea of just holding somebody up. Somebody's walking down the trail beside you, and you're talking, and all of a sudden they stumble on something. I've talked before, one of my favorite things to do is to go to places to hike, and you know, if you go hiking out in the woods, you're typically going to run across a root or a rock or something like that. You might be talking to somebody, and if you are talking too much, sometimes you stop paying attention to where you're going and you just trip. And if you trip in a bad place, you could really fall and hurt yourself. You want to make sure that person beside you can support you at that moment. Whoa! Just reaching out there and steadying you so you don't fall off that edge or that cliff or whatever the case may be. So support, bearing the weight and holding somebody up is important. Another definition, give assistance to, especially financially, or to enable to function or act. We think of this a lot of times when somebody's got a need. As a congregation, most of the time, we each week or biweekly, depending on what our situation is, we give money back to the congregation that we are a member of, because we want to make sure that we have power, we have a place for visitors to come and see us, we have a way to communicate. If you can't hear well, we have microphones and amplifiers and those kind of things. We have classes and materials. But sometimes it could just be, I'm having a really rough time. I've lost my job. With all this coronavirus stuff going on right now, people are in bad places. You know that they're in difficult situations when you just see that look on their face and you're like, what can I do to help? You just want to give them something that's going to help them be able to stand on their own, physically or in situations like this. Another definition, suggest the truth of or corroborate. That's one I hadn't even thought about when I started working on this lesson, but that's so true. Why does a police officer go to multiple people after an accident? Do they think that they didn't just see the same thing? Well, most of the time, they all saw exactly the same thing. Maybe one person was the problem for the accident. So they'll go to this person, "What did you see?" And they tell them the story. And they go to another person, "What did you see?" And they hear the exact same story from a different perspective. But they go to the third, fourth person, and they ask them, and what they say is different than everybody else's. They are trying to corroborate what really happened by talking to those multiple accounts. And so they can verify, did this really happen? And that's just the way that it's for anything. You can simplify that and get away from accidents and go down to being a child of a family. If you've got two or three brothers and sisters, and what happened here? And the one child says something, and you say, "What happened here?" And you hear the same story, but then, "What happened?" "Well, actually," and it's a completely different story. You're just trying to get to the truth. So that's another thing for support. And last of all, the fourth definition I have here is to endure or tolerate. And these are two very similar things, but they're not the same. Sometimes when we're supporting people, they may be difficult people. Maybe they have a tendency to do the same things over and over and over again, but you're trying to help them get out of that habit and try to do things differently or better if you can possibly help them. Sometimes they can't. We were talking about sickness today. Some people get into a health situation where they are very dependent on other people always being there for them to help them to keep going. Especially our older mothers and fathers and grandparents, they get to a point where their minds don't work the same, and so you need to support them. Sometimes it does take endurance. People that deal with dementia, my grandma dealt with dementia. Some of you have people in the family that maybe have dementia very severely. You have to endure hearing the stories that they tell you over and over and over again because their minds are just in a loop. But they need you there. They want you to be there. It may be difficult for them too, but we just want to do that. So, support's important for our growth and function. We're going to look at some pictures that we see every day representing support. And we're going to look at a sapling. I think all of you probably have had something in your backyard like this. I know my mom and dad have got things like this in their backyard. I would venture to say that Edith and Glennon probably have something like this or had something like this. I was going to use a tomato stake for this or a tomato basket. I was looking for stakes because I wanted the wood supports on here for the representation today, and all I could find was those metal baskets, and it just wasn't working. These are three of the exact same pictures. I've duplicated pictures in places just to help you really pay attention to it there. But what do those stakes in the ground do? Why are they strapped to that tree? If you go outside today and you look at any of those trees over there across the street, they're probably standing upright. Why would you need to mess with them like that? Why? Well, the wind sometimes blows them. Well, don't most trees continue to stand up? In this case, you can see at the very bottom there that that's freshly planted. That tree was pulled out of the roots, taken someplace else, and put in the ground. So it does not have those roots going out into the ground to hold it in place. It doesn't have the support that it needs, and it is reliant on those sticks and those bands to make sure that the wind doesn't blow it over, or a raccoon or possum doesn't crawl up there at night and make the whole thing fall over. Whatever the case is, it is dependent on those posts to remain straight and to help it grow too. Not only holding it in place now, but helping it to get a good direction later. Another thing, maybe a baby. Well, how can we support a baby? Lots of pictures of this, but you see a pregnant woman and you don't really think about what support she is offering that child. Sure, there's a baby growing inside there. We all recognize that. The changes in a woman when they have a child in them is very, very apparent. But what is happening? How is she supporting that baby? It's not just that baby growing inside there. DNA and genes from the mother and father are being passed to that child. Blood from the mother is going to that child and helping it grow. This next picture we're going to show is going to show the bones of a human being. That child is starting from something that is just single cell or multi-cell and turning into a physical body with bones and vessels and arteries and organs and everything. All of that is happening inside of a woman that just seems to be bigger than normal. That support is significant. So when we get over to the next picture, like a human being, well, how could we look at support in a human being? It's every time I look at the bone structure of a human being and I think about the people that deny God and deny a creator, I think it's just undeniable. As a graphic designer, I look at how the bone structure is for a human being. And you could almost say that human beings are kind of an accidental creation. They all grow the same way. They start off simple and they get complex and then they're born. Well, that is simplifying something that is amazing. These bones, all that part of there, the skull, it supports our brain. It keeps our brain in place. All these ribs here support our organs, protect us. If we're not just keeping us intact, but also protecting us as well. The bones in our arm, the big upper bone and the two bones in our forearms, all the things that you see there are things that help give us support. If I wanted to talk to you today and wave to you and move my hands and stuff and I had no bones in me, I would just be a pile on the floor and just completely dysfunctional. Your organs don't even function if you aren't stretched to the way that you need to be. So very important for the way that our body is structured for support. What about a building? One of the companies that I used to work for as a graphic designer, the firm that I worked for, we worked with a company that did tilt-up buildings. And some of you may have heard of these. I know we have a lot of contractor and construction people in our congregation. But if I went around to ask you, what is a tilt-up building and how does it differ from a normal building? Well, they're pretty amazing, and I knew about it, but I had to go back and just double-check and make sure I remembered how they did it. But basically, you see these buildings, you've probably driven by these kind of things. You see all these poles on these big, huge walls on a building that was just nothing there a few days before, and now all these walls are stood up, and that's what they do. They build these forms on the ground. They put rebar in them and metal. Sometimes these days they can even put like a facade of brick on the bottom, fill it full of concrete. They let it cure for a few days. And when that's cured, they stand those things up with cranes. They get them in position there. And then they put all these bars in place so that that building can be quickly built. And then once they get the roof and the metal beams that go across that roof in place, it's like building a card house. You put these up, walls up, and then try to keep the roof holding everything together. They can do amazing things there, but that building is useless if it doesn't have a support. You can't bring these things up without that. And even going back to the bones that I was talking about in the human body, rebar is something that we don't think about. Most of us that are outside the construction business, rebar is all that metal that's inside concrete. If you've ever broken a sidewalk or a wall of your house and sometimes you start pounding away and all the mortar and the concrete fall away, but there's all these pieces of rusty metal in there, those were helping that form and be solid so that it wouldn't be damaged easily. Our next thing is a lift truck. And I was trying to find a bigger picture of a lift truck. I couldn't find one, but you've seen these before. It may be just the cranes that come and deliver shingles to a job site. In this case, there's a big bucket full of concrete right there. That truck, on its own, if it didn't have those stands that you see there back by that little crane dolly on the back there, if it was trying to lift that concrete, that truck would just go straight down. The springs would collapse, and they would not be able to manage it very well. But the support of the lift truck is you put those posts on the back corner down, and that truck can swing that concrete around because it's putting all the weight straight down on firm ground. What about the statue? I had actually forgot about this, which is kind of sad, but it was just amazing to see. Many of you probably remember, maybe probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, I can't remember how long it's been now, maybe longer than that. But the Statue of Liberty, they said, was coming apart. Rivets were popping out of it. If you know the reason the Statue of Liberty is green is because it's made of copper, and copper turns colors just like a penny that's outside for a long time. But it was basically deteriorating, and so they built the scaffolding all around this giant statue so that it could be repaired properly. They took metal that was damaged and put new metal in. Where there was places where rivets had come out, they replaced them. But just to show you an example, as you can see right there, there's one guy right there, and that's going from the very bottom to the middle section, and then you can see that little symbol, it looks like an R right there. It goes all the way up to the top. All that scaffolding built to support men and women that could go up and work on this building, on this statue, and do it with care. What about this Leaning Tower of Pisa is one that we see so often. I'm always impressed with that building because it's, if we talk about support, all those columns on that building, it's basically, I think, a close to a 10-story building. I've got a note on there, I don't know if you can see it. That work on the Tower of Pisa, it was a bell tower, and that's one of the things a lot of people don't know about, but it was a bell tower, still is a bell tower. I think it's got four or five bells on the top of it, and it was part of a building structure that had a lot of these types of buildings built by the Romans in Italy there at that time. But from the very beginning, after they got done with it, the ground started settling, and that building started tilting. I think it got as far as 5 degrees off center. I think they've moved it back to 4 degrees off center, but it's still tilted very severely. But it's just amazing, on the plus side, how that building is still so well preserved considering it was built in 1173. I mean, well, that's almost 1,000 years of that building being crooked like that. But in this case, the support problem there is the ground. They started it, everything seemed fine, but after they got taller and taller, things started not working out so well, and the ground was not supporting it. So we want to go back and look at some scripture definitions here. We're looking at the idea of bearing or all or part of the weight of something. In Genesis 13:57, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You're welcome to look on screen or follow in your Bibles. And it said, Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them. So what we're talking about in this case is the fact that they had such large herds, had animals that were eating the vegetation, and people that needed food, that as they were going through the places that they were going through, the ground didn't have the abundance of food necessary for them to do well. So the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. They couldn't do it together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And this, the definition here, just to bearing all or part of the weight up or hold up, is not actually supporting Lot and supporting Abram and their families and their herds, but it's actually feeding them, which is another version of how support can be used. Continuing on, this idea of bearing and holding up, Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. But when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. Can you imagine Moses? He's just a normal human being. He was to do this. God said, keep your hands up and I will help Israel. But don't let him fall down or things will go badly. He was doing that. But consider how long this is when we get down here in just a moment. It says Moses' hands became heavy, so that they took a stone and put him under it. So we're talking about support. First of all, he's losing the ability to hold his hands up because he's standing. The first thing they do is give him a place to sit. That will take some of the burden off of Moses. But that wasn't enough. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. The fact that they had to do that basically from the daytime to the nighttime said how long Moses was out there. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So the idea there, that idea of bearing and holding up, Moses was told to do something. He did the best he could, but when he ran out of strength, he was reliant on these other two men to assist him to continue what God asked him to do. Also, Psalms chapter 18, verses 17 through 19, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. So the psalmist is dealing with somebody that's causing him difficulty, but he's talking about God here. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, and the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. So in this case, we see God being the support for a person in a bad situation. They couldn't find a way out, but God delivered them. Another definition we talked about was number two, give assistance to, especially financially, and to enable or function or act. Again, I pulled this from the Old Testament, where we see this carried through into the New Testament, what the church does. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, starting, it says, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. We have to remember, Aaron was also the head of the tribe that would be the caretakers of the temple, and for the as they were traveling around with the tabernacle. It says, I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel, because I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance. In return for the work that they perform, the work in the tabernacle of meeting, hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. So some of the things there aren't necessarily applicable to support here, but God is basically saying, I want all the children of Israel to tithe money back to help these people, and I don't want them, they're not going to get their own land, they're not going to have their own places to live, they're basically going to be doing service for me, for you, and you're going to support them in this way. Also continuing on, the third definition we had was to suggest the truth of, to corroborate, as we talked about in an accident or a situation. Acts chapter 14, 21 through 23. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So in this case, this idea of cooperation is not so much the focus, but this idea of the truth of, or preserving the truth. The whole purpose of Paul and the other apostles being involved in these mission work that they did was to ensure that the truth was being taught. And so they wouldn't, sometimes they would get people going and they would come back to them again just to make sure everything's going okay. They wanted to maintain that truth. And so when we're supporting people in this regard, we want to do the same. And the last definition that we had, to endure or tolerate. In Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So this idea of long-suffering, to walk, being fully pleasing, strengthened with all might, and all these things show a work in progress to have that enduring characteristic, to be able to tolerate the difficulties that people are going to face. And that's certainly something that we can think about. 2 Timothy 4:16 says that my first defense, no one stood with me. Paul talks about here saying how difficult things were for me, how everybody else abandoned me, but God stood by me and He took care of me. So this idea of the support from God was so important. So we want to wrap up today by looking at the brace that I started off with today. Hopefully you can see this on here. This monitor is a little bit dark. So if I show that brace up to you, anybody that's in construction, you have two boards, one going this way and one going vertically, and you need to make sure that they stay square with each other. Even though square is kind of a misnomer there when you've got a triangle shape that you see before you. But that brace, the support of that middle angle there, that 45 degree angle there, maintains that up vertical and that horizontal board so that it does not move. You don't want to build something that tilts like this, or the bottom falls down, or moves up, or whatever the case may be. If that center brace is in the right place and it's connected properly, it is going to maintain that structure indefinitely. So I look at this and I say, is that support ideal? Let's take a closer look at it. Let's put it under the microscope. So we cut it in half, and yep, we've got the nails in the right places. It's going all the way through that piece of wood. It's going into the other piece of wood, and I could have broke that apart and we could have seen how that was. Could have been even better if it was screwed in there. But so yes, is it supported? Yes, that's true. Why do you have building inspectors? They come out to make sure that the job that you just paid for, the house that you're building or the building that you're making, is done the proper way. So we go back to this. That looks good. Is that support ideal? Well, from the outside, yes, it looks good, but let's take a look at it closer. Wait a second. We've got problems here. We've got rot, or we've got worms, or whatever the case may be. The inside of that piece of wood has been bored out. Maybe it's carpenter bees. They've gone in and they've made nests there. You need that vertical piece of wood and that horizontal piece of wood never to bend. But if you were able to inspect that, you say, well, that's going to probably snap soon. But what do you see on the outside? We go backwards. There's what it looks like. Why is that a problem? Well, it's because we don't know what's on the inside of it. This is what it sees when we split it in half. So the next one, well, that looks good. That's a nice vertical. That's got a nice horizontal. I think that's going to be fine. What's the problem there? Do you remember anything that you saw in the earlier pictures? Is something missing? Yes, it is. If we split it in half, we have the holes for the nails, but they're not there. How much good is a brace when there's nothing securing it? If it's just laid against something in the corner, if there's any pressure from that vertical or that horizontal board, will it maintain that strength? Will it maintain that perfect angle? No, it'll just fly out of there. In fact, it probably will fall off of there. So, the question for me, I have to ask myself this, a question for all of you. Every single one of us is this piece of board. We are all supporters of something. How integral are we to the whole? As a church member, are we braced fully with the congregation? Are we connected exactly the way we should be? Are we making sure that there's no hollowness in what we're trying to provide? Are we giving everything that we can to maintaining that shape and that structure? Or are we just kind of laid against it, Do we look good on the outside, or is that the problem? One of the Bible passages that I didn't have on the slides for you, I'd like to read real quick as we close. This is from Matthew 23, starting with verse 24. New King James Version says, "Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Verse 26, "Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs that indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." I hope that's not a definition of me. I pray that it's not a definition of anybody that's here today. But see how much of a risk. The Pharisees were thought of as some of the most important figures for the Jews at that time. And yet Christ knew exactly what their problem was. They were like this brace. They looked like they were right there doing the right thing, but they were not. There was problems. And I look at myself sometimes and I see that too. So that's all I've got for you today. I want you to think about support. We had four definitions of that today. And if there's anything that you feel maybe your support is a little bit weak in, you can strengthen that up through many different ways of doing that. But just want to encourage you to think about these things as we take our songbooks out and we stand and sing the song of invitation.